Hello, Doug Brown here, joining Brendan Stone today on Unusual Sources on CFMU, McMaster Radio 93.3 FM. Well, over the past year or so, we've been having we've been tracking the issue of temporary foreign workers and in particular migrant agricultural workers. And a little over a year ago, we had Stan Raper of UFCW explain to us just what kind of conditions that agricultural workers in Ontario are facing. They come mainly from Mexico and the Caribbean. And it's timely, I think, to do an update, and there's been some new developments which Stan will be telling us about. Stan, are you there?
Yes, I am, Doug.
Well, thanks for joining us again, Stan. We covered a lot of ground a year ago, but you know, it's such a big issue. And you've been at it for a long time. I guess it really goes back to the creation of this program in the 60s.
Well, I was born in the 60s. So.
Oh, I'm not suggesting you you were active back then.
Right. I was a farm worker coming out of high school, but the seasonal agriculture worker program started in 1966, and next year they'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary of the program. And it started with a couple of hundred Jamaican workers, and now has expanded to over 30,000 workers coming from Mexico, Jamaica, and the Eastern Caribbean countries. So it's become not so temporary a temp foreign worker program.
Right, and it continues for most of these workers year after year, where they come and go, like they can't just stay here. They have to leave, right?
Yeah, the seasonal agriculture worker program is exactly that. They can stay up to 8 months anywhere between January 1st and December the 15th, and work 8 months in that time frame. By December 15th, all seasonal agriculture workers have to leave the country. And so there's 15 days where there are no seasonal agriculture workers in this country.
Yes,
but they do have they have started other temp foreign worker programs, which what they classify as the low skill or NOC C&D programs, and also the agricultural stream programs. And those workers are able to stay all year round for up to 4 years, and then the federal government implemented the four in, four out program. So. After 4 years, they have to leave and can't come back for 4 years. So we're seeing a large increase in those workers as well, and they're full-time agriculture workers.
Right. It's tough for all of the foreign temporary workers.
Right.
And, you know, this four and four, you know, it's hard to imagine how you would adjust to that. You know, you've been here for 4 years, and then you have to leave, and you can't come back for 4 years.
Yeah. And we've heard a lot of complaints by employers as well who have a trained workforce that are doing the job and doing a good job, and have finally got a good workforce together, and now the 4 years comes up and they got to start all over again. And so not even employers are happy with that program, let alone the workers, or I think the general public don't understand the logic behind some of the policies that have been implemented by our past federal government.
Right. Now, did this policy affect agriculture workers? You could almost say they already were sort of on an 8-4 program.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't impact the seasonal workers, that's for sure. But it certainly does impact all other temp foreign workers in all sectors. So that the four in, four out is one of the areas that we're really trying to deal with. And we do have actually unionized agriculture workers in Quebec who are becoming close to the impact of that four in, four out. And so we're very worried about what's going to happen with them.
Yeah, now you just used a word, unionize, or a few words, unionize
yeah.
farm workers.
Yes, imagine that.
What a wonderful concept in Quebec.
Yes.
How about Ontario?
Ontario, actually on November the 10th of this year, in a few days, will be the 20th anniversary of the implementation of the Agriculture Employees Protection Act, which basically bans collective bargaining and coverage under the Labor Relations Act in Ontario. So we've been for the last 20 years without the right for agriculture workers, whether they're from Grimsby or whether they're from Jamaica or Mexico, they don't have access to the Labor Relations Act the same way as every other person in Ontario does. So that's a sad anniversary coming up, and part of the work that UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers, and the Agriculture Workers Alliance, and a lot of our community partners has been about trying to focus on the lack of protections, not only with Labor Relations Act, but the Employment Standards Act and the Occupational Health and Safety Act. We have a lot of work to do to bring justice to the agricultural farm workers in this province.
Well, that's for sure. Now, if you go back 20 years, Mike Harris comes to mind.
Yes, Mike Harris. It was actually one of the first pieces of legislation that Mike Harris brought in was the repeal of what Bob Ray and Bob McKenzie, a Hamilton boy, had provided for the first time ever in Ontario, the right of agriculture workers to be able to be protected under the Labor Relations Act and bargain collectively and join unions. And Mike Harris, when he was elected, his first piece of legislation was to revoke that act, and then forced us into the courts. And we won at the Supreme Court of Canada level, and they forced the Ontario government to implement the new law to provide protections, and they gave us an association law. We challenged that in the courts as well, but we haven't been successful in actually getting Labor Relations Act protections back for the last 20 years.
Right, and Mike Harris has been out of power a long time now.
Yes.
So you would think that in the intervening, 12, 13 years, that the rights of agriculture workers could have been restored.
Yeah, we raised it certainly with the Dalton McGuinty's government when he was in for the two terms, and we've certainly raised it with the current Wynne government. And as you may know, the Minister of Labor under the Wynne government has currently called for a review of the Labor Relations Act and the Employment Standards Act in Ontario, and we've done submissions, and others have done submissions asking them to deal with this injustice for the agriculture workers under the Act. So we're hopeful. It's a slow process, but at least there is a process. And I think kudos to the Minister of Labor currently in Ontario to acknowledge that there are problems with the Labor Relations Act, not only with agriculture workers, but this Act has not been dealt with or reformed really in the last 20 years, and it needs an overhaul.
Yes, Quebec, agriculture workers have the right in Quebec, and I think in most other provinces, don't they?
Every other province except for the province of Alberta, and we have a new government in Alberta, and they've hinted that there's going to be some changes to at least occupational health and safety in the short term for agriculture workers in that province, and possibly the voluntary workers' compensation program they have for workers' comp on agriculture workers there. So we expect some changes there, and every province has its own labor laws, and Alberta and Ontario currently are the only two in Canada that ban labor relations protections for farm workers in this country.
Yeah, that's a shame on both governments.
Right.
The other issue of fairness, I remember we talked about it a year ago, was agriculture workers, at least foreign migrant agriculture workers, they and their employers pay substantial funds into the employment insurance.
They sure do.
and yet they're not eligible for benefits.
Well, they're employers and the workers themselves contribute into employment insurance, and that's the same for every job anywhere in the country. And for the seasonal agriculture workers, because they're not residents of Canada, there is a policy that was put in place a number of years ago that if you're not a citizen of Canada, you're not eligible for the regular unemployment benefit. So if you get laid off, you could apply and collect potentially if you're eligible. And all of these workers contribute, and so do their employers, and they've never been eligible for that. But we were able to register them and apply for parental benefits. And for the last number of years, we've been able to, if they have a child, when they're laid off, they can take care of that child while they're laid off, and when they return, their payments stop. And you didn't have to be a resident of Canada in order to get that benefit. You just had to be eligible and paid into the program. And a couple of years ago, Diane Finley, the Minister of Human Resource Development Canada, changed the policy so that now when a seasonal agriculture worker leaves, their social insurance number expires, which makes them no longer eligible after that point. So we did an economic argument that we presented to the federal government and to the provinces, and it's called the Great Canadian Ripoff. It's available on our website at ufcw.ca if anyone wants to take a look at it. And also at the same time, we've just released our new national report on the status of migrant farm workers in Canada. It's available in French, English, and Spanish, and it's our major lobby tool that we use at the government level, and we wanted to be ready for the new federal government, whoever was elected. And we also use that with the sending countries' governments to lobby for improvements to the seasonal agriculture worker program and the temp foreign worker programs.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of a new government, we just this morning the new government was sworn in.
Yep.
And I just saw the press release early this week. UFCW Canada helps launch Canadian Migrant Workers' Rights Coalition. Can you tell us about this initiative?
Yeah, I'm not an official spokesperson for the national coalition. UFCW, United Food and Commercial Workers, is part of that coalition, along with unions, Kairos, church groups, community-based organizations all across the country. And they started a campaign called MOVE, M-O-V-E. And you can get information off their website. There's all kinds of materials there and petitions, et cetera. And basically the campaign is designed to be like a 100-day campaign where the issues around temporary foreign workers, and primarily the issue around work permits being tied to one employer, so that you're basically held to that employer. You don't have the freedom to move around if you get a bad employer, or if there's an abusive situation or some kind of nightmare that happens. Those workers are stuck there, and it's very difficult to move work permits or be transferred to different operations. And so a big piece of the coalition's work that is happening now is to gain signatures and build some momentum and have press conferences and then formally meet with elected MPs and hopefully some cabinet ministers and really try to lobby for some immediate changes around the temp foreign worker program. And one of the things we talked about was the four in, four out. What we're seeing is an immigration system that has deteriorated to the point where it's an employer-driven program, and it needs a major overhaul. And the coalition is trying to highlight that and educate the general public in Canada about these issues, and hopefully try to pressure the new Trudeau government that was sworn in today to make some real historical change. And you know, Trudeau talked about change through his campaign, and we're hoping that resonates with the temp foreign worker program and our immigration system, which is really in bad shape, or if not broken.
Right, and it's, you know, it just looks like the door is closed on migrant farm workers. When we talked last year, I remember you were telling me about one farm worker. At that time, he'd come 41 years in the program.
Yep.
And he could not emigrate.
He never had a path to citizenship. And I think that's tragic. I think that, you know, this one gentleman from Barbados, he had come 41 years. He spent more time here than he did in his own country, but never was able to be a resident of Canada. And you look at other programs where, you know, high-skilled workers can get status almost right away. Live-in caregivers can get status after 3 years. That there are, you know, some paths to citizenship, but for seasonal agriculture workers, that path has that door's never been open, and we think that that's wrong. We think it's discriminatory, and we think that there should be more value placed on the people that harvest and plant, grow the food that we eat and export and have made the agricultural industry it's one of the fastest growing economic sectors of our country, and it's because of the hard work and the stoop labor of agriculture workers, and they've never received the credit that they're due, I argue, and I think it's time that we start to acknowledge the hard work that they are doing.
Absolutely, and you know, I can go back to my own grandparents. I mean, you know, my grandfather came, and that would be his first job in Canada as farm worker.
Yep. Yep.
But there was a pathway, you know, and he became a citizen, and everything followed from that. And
right.
And you know, like again, taking the case of this poor worker from Tobago. And so this is 42 years now, I suppose.
Well, I think he retired. We actually worked on getting him his Canada pension.
Oh, okay.
Which wasn't much, believe me. But you know, he was eligible and happy to be able to get it. And you know, is now back home and has a lot of friends and people here that he would love to be able to come and see and visit and. Because he never was granted status, he will have to find other ways to try and come here and visit for short times rather than potentially have stayed here and being a contributor to the Canadian economy.
Okay, well, migrant farm workers, they pay into CPP.
Yep. All of them pay into Canada Pension. They all pay income tax. They all pay employment insurance. They all pay taxes. Everything they buy in rural communities and elsewhere. And so the financial benefit to the Canadian government and the Canadian people is unbelievable. And very few of them are told that they're eligible for Canada Pension. Most of them don't know what their rights are in terms of employment standards or workers' compensation. Literacy and language skills are problematic, and so a lot of work that the Agriculture Workers Alliance does with the help of the United Food and Commercial Workers and our community partners is to educate workers about what their basic rights are, what few they have, and make sure that if they understand what those rights are, that they're eligible. If they're eligible, they should exercise those rights, and we help them with the paperwork and make sure that there's follow-up, and that's the work that we do at the Agriculture Worker Alliance Centres, which are basically established from Quebec to British Columbia.
Yeah, you would have to wonder, you know, thinking about, you know, they're not paid, they're paid minimum wage, I gather, mainly.
Yep. They have to be paid the minimum wage or piece work, whichever is greater. And we find a lot of wage disputes around the piece rate system and near farming. And the Employment Standards Act is pretty lengthy and brutal and hard to understand in this province. And it's one of the things that we've been advocating for is a change to the Employment Standards Act.
Right, and so they get paid, but then they pay income tax on that.
How, yeah.
why would they be paying income tax? So would, surely they aren't making enough.
It usually depends on the amount of time that they're here and how many hours in the week that they work. And as you know, farm work is long hours, and so a lot of these guys are at the threshold or near the threshold, and so they are deducted and have to file for income tax. And you can imagine, being a farm worker from another country trying to understand that process. It's hard enough for Canadians to understand. And so then there's penalties for late fees, and it's a nightmare to try and assist these workers. And we at the AWA Center don't do income tax, but we do a lot of referrals to community partners who have the skills and capacity to do that, and we can network with them and follow up to make sure that the follow-up is done and payments are issued, and if they get returns, that they get them properly as well.
Right. Okay. You know, when we last talked, UFCW had launched a couple of human rights complaints about the issue of family separation.
Yep, gender discrimination. We argued that women weren't being selected in the process. That it's roughly 98% men. In the program, and that there should be, from the sending countries and the employers, some equality in terms of access to the work and the ability to have those jobs and prove themselves that they're capable of doing that work. And there are a fair number of women in the Niagara region the horticultural sector. A lot do some harvesting and packaging work, but the vast majority are married men with children, so that they return back each year. And we argued that there should be more equality in the system. And the complaint was refused at the Ontario human rights level. Basically, it's almost hard to prove because just the system that's in place is the governments from the sending countries identify the individuals and respond to employers' requests. And because we don't have that information, it's hard to make the complaint. So we still have a lot of work to do in that area.
Okay, yeah, lots of work ahead. unfortunately, you know, and it's, when you think of a very long history, you're mentioning the infamous 20th anniversary of the changes to the Employment Standards Act to remove farm workers. But going back to 66, I mean, that's like almost 50 years now.
50 years next year, and I understand that there's going to be celebrations about how great this program has been, and I certainly acknowledge that the program has had a long life, but the policies and the regimen of the program really haven't changed in 50 years, and that's part of the work that the coalition and other partners and ourselves are trying to deal with it. We think 50 years is long enough without some real systemic change, and that's what's needed.
Absolutely, yeah. The very hard working conditions, living conditions of all these farm workers, and they're putting food on our table. They're putting money into people's pockets.
They sure are.
The various farm and agriculture operations. And the whole concept of, we don't offer a living wage or a competitive wage, therefore we will go to, countries with a lower standard of living where conditions are not good, and because we can get away with it.
Yeah, it's globalization has impacted all sectors of our economy, and agriculture is no different, and I think that most people don't mind paying a penny or two more for a dozen carrots if they knew that the people harvesting that product were treated properly and fairly, and were able to get a sustainable wage and good housing and potentially become citizens of Canada. And I just can't fathom most consumers not acknowledging that. So we have a lot of work to do yet.
Okay, and good work going on, you know, with your union, Stan, UFCW. Yeah. Plus, yeah. You're also involved with the Agriculture Workers Alliance, right?
Yes, I'm the national coordinator of the Agriculture Workers Alliance, and we are funded through UFCW and our members, and proud of the work that we try and do on behalf of agriculture workers across this country.
Yeah, and so it's very important work, and in addition to advocating, you know, through legal actions and political pressure for better conditions, you and others also have centers really to help serve agricultural workers.
Yeah, we do basically one-on-one casework, and we also try and engage with the community and actually have some fun. A lot of these guys are stuck on the farms in bunkhouses and working long hours, and when they get a little bit of time off, they like to enjoy themselves. And so we try and we do health fairs and general workshops and information, but they also like to play soccer and listen to music and go out riding on their bikes and just get away from the farm. And so we try to work with community partners and do whatever we can with the limited resources we have to show them that they're part of the community and show the community that these workers are part of integral part of rural society in Canada, and they need to be acknowledged as such.
Right. Well, great work, Stan, but not just by you, but by all your allies.
Lots of players, right. Including McMaster University, who does great work. And I actually have students from the Labor Studies program that have done work with us, and lots of volunteers from the nursing program that help at the health clinics. And you guys at the university have been great.
Okay, well, great. And, well, thanks again for joining us, giving us an update on the situation.
Yep.
We'll have to do this, I think, regularly. Keep on top of this.
Love to do it, Doug. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, thanks, Stan.
Okay.
And that was Stan Raper. He's with UFCW and also the Agriculture Workers Alliance. So he was talking about Ontario's foreign migrant farm workers.